I noticed that we have holy ones and those that are not very sure. Good morning, holy ones. To God be the glory. Don't believe that you are holy because something that you're doing besides the giving your life to Christ and let Him do the rest. Okay? So, because of His grace, we are His. Do not love the world. Do not love the world. And how do we love the world? When we start to imitate the world, right? When we become attractive to what the world does. Or sometimes when we are so empty of anything good in our lives that we have to occupy that is empty space in us with things that is not worth to be in us in the first place. But it's a natural. We got a brain, and the brain needs to work. If we don't put good things there, something bad will come, but it won't stay completely empty, no matter what. So that's the way life is. And Satan knows this. And because he knows this, he put a lot of lights, a lot of colors in front of us to try to distract us, to call our attention, and to make us do things that is destructive and is not good for us at all. Today is one of those sermons that will make you a little bit uncomfortable, especially if you have a Roman background or if you have coming from a different denomination. We are here not to attack anyone. We are not here to attack individuals. We want you to understand, and this is good for me and good for all of you, we never should judge individuals because only God knows the heart. But, and that's a big B-U-T, but we are 100%, I should say 1,000% responsible for the truth that God has revealed to us. And He does not give us a light so that we put under the bed, because that will set the bed on fire. Okay, we don't put the light under the bed. We don't hide the light. Light is meant to shine. So what God chose you to be part of His church is for you to be an instrument to deliver, to be a messenger. Do you know what the word messenger means? Literally, it's an angel, a prophet. Those are the words related to the being a messenger. You are called to be part of a holy nation. You are part to give the gospel to others. So, let's we put the title of this week, the same one that was last week, but this is part two, The Faces of Paganism. When we talk about paganism, if you were not here last Sabbath, when we talk about paganism, many people think about religion over there in some places, and I'm not going to be picky on, please forgive me if you are from that part of the world, or from some part of Africa, some part of the East, or from India, from all those places where they have a different forms of worship that's not typical in the West. No. Don't be deceived. Paganism is everywhere. Everywhere. And sometimes even worse in the West. Because those that knows the light and choose to live in darkness are worse than those that are living in darkness but have no idea there is light. It's better for those not to have known than to know and not obey the Holy Spirit. Okay, the faces of paganism. Now, the sun, it is very common. If you read the Bible, you see Baal, Babylon, before Babylon, after Babylon, every single kingdom worshiped the sun one way or the other. And we're still doing. Everywhere. Now, what is this? What is spiritism? Spiritism. What is that? Some people think that is a good thing. Oh, praise the Holy Spirit, and they go to some churches, they dance and they do those things, But they are not the only ones. Now they're even in Roman Catholic Church, there are a group of people that are going Pentecostal as well. But that's not the kind of spiritism, that's just part of it. There are all sorts of attraction, this phenomenon about worshiping the devil. They are not worshiping a little Buddha, they are not worshiping Peter or John. They are not worshiping John Paul II or Teresa. They are not worshiping. Those are just the figures to induce somebody to worship actually the dragon. And that's what Spiritism is all about. Occultism. Have you heard that word before? More now than ever. It's all over the place. And I do like to have the attention of the young people, okay? Especially those that sing beautifully. Okay? We like to have your attention because this subject, when I was putting it together, we're thinking especially about you because the enemy is after the young minds. And please pay attention to this because we took time to make sure that you could get this message because you have all younger friends that you want to carry this to them also. Now, have you noticed Spiritism, Occultism, and Satanism? What do you see there? Yep. Run for your life. This is all an epidemic. Some people are worried about COVID. Have you noticed how we scared we were? There are people that are still in their homes. They have not left their homes. They're still there, locked in, because they are so scared. They are scared to die, and yet they are playing with death. They are scared to die, and yet they're inviting the destroyer to their home, to their lives. It doesn't make any sense. It's just like somebody says, I'm afraid to be contaminated, and yet they never wash their hands. Or I'm afraid to be contaminated, and yet they don't take a shower or bath. Or they go and sleep on a backyard with the pigs, and then want to get dirty. It is a serious problem. Can we talk with the dead? Are you sure? A lot of people trying. A lot of people trying. And by the way, we cannot talk to the dead. So we need to be all alive here, okay? Okay, I cannot preach to the dead because the dead knows nothing. And the dead, they don't praise God. So please, let's make sure that we have a live church. Let's hear what God's leaving, and I put this title on purpose. When we talk about the dead, the best place to go is to the living word. That's what life is. Now, let me go back. Spiritism, according to Webb's dictionary, it says, I believe that the spirits of the dead communicate with the living, usually through a medium. Now, when we talk about this, people think that we are talking about some kind of particular religion. I have been, and I'm not being picky on the Roman Church, okay? But I have to say this. I used to be part of the denomination. I was brought there as a child, and that's the only thing I knew. And I went to church. Gorgeous buildings, beautiful. Gorgeous, you know, the art and everything else. And here is a little statue of Peter. There is John. And Mary is everywhere. There's a lot of Marys everywhere. And they don't have just one Mary. They have Guadalupe, they have Aparecida, Lourdes. They put a lot of names for Mary. So they multiply Mary in so many ways so that each Mary will satisfy a particular group. What is the point to pray for somebody who is dead? You see, this is something that you've never been told in Catholicism. That when you pray for someone that has died, you're actually praying for the dead. So let's see what the scripture says about praying to the dead. Spiritualism is the science, philosophy, and religion of a continuous life. Meaning, they say that we were created immortal. We are created not to die. And you know who said that lie, right? Not him. Anybody here? Don't raise your hand. Please do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Do not raise your hand, okay? Have you watched this, any part of it before? Yes. I ask you not to raise your hand or your voice. If you had, you made a terrible mistake. You expose your mind to Satanism. That's how serious this is. This is not a game. Don't play this game because you're going to end up burned. What they say when you play with fire, what happens? What about if you play with the one who makes the fire, who likes to cook everything around him? The person who wrote those 7 novels, she has billions of dollars now. Why? Because this became a phenomenon. And why a phenomenon? Because it was meant to attract the young mind. Harry, he learned that he was a witch. And then he goes to a witch school. And the only reason I know those things is because I just researched this week for this. I have never paid attention to this. I never turn on. I never watch one, not even 2 minutes of it, of anywhere. I'm old in comparison to some of you. I'm very old. And I don't have the luxury to put this stuff on my mind. Imagine how much harm it would do for yours. I don't take for granted that I know the Bible so much that I have been a Christian. No, this won't harm me. Yes, it will. Every single month. Don't let yourself be exposed to satanic things because it will imprint in your mind something that will never come out. The 7-volume series sold over, this is old data. It's much more now. 600 million copies. I'm talking about just the book, plus t-shirt, plus cups, plus all the things. It's an infestation and has been translated in 84 languages. Now, many more. Almost like competing with the Bible. And for some people, those books has become a Bible for them. All that they know about religion is what they hear from this. Now, I put some other things that I'd like you to read. As we get close to the return of Christ, we are hearing more about what? Which, and which? Just the devil's tools. And we see them in the movies, on that little god that people call television. Stores, books, I'm just putting some of their classrooms. Oh yes, they are using this to teach in schools, toys, games. And by the way, a game that you always will lose. Every time you play this game, you always lose. And even in churches, I'm not here to throw rocks, but here it comes. Even Seventh-day Adventist churches. I was reading a statement made by the Bishop of Rome about, I don't like to call Halloween because that is a lie. The word hallow means holy. In means the holy eve. So just by saying the word is a lie, it is not holy at all. But making a comment saying that this is satanic. And I said, I think this guy should have read something before he said this, because he put himself and his whole church in flames. Why? Do you know why they celebrate Hallow Eve on the 31st? Because the Roman Church decided to declare November the 1st, the day of all the dead that they call saints, that you should pray for them. So who is on board on this whole game? The church is 100% in. They established November 1st as the All Saints Day, meaning it is okay for us to pray for the dead. Now they are trying to criticize that somebody celebrated on that same day the dead, playing with the spirits that doesn't exist. God makes it clear that witchcraft, sorcery are, say it with me please, are evil and an abomination to him. If you want something that opposes God, if you have light, what will be the opposite of light?
Darkness.
No, not really. Yes, sister. It is not darkness. It's the absence of light. In order for you to have darkness, you have to eliminate light. So it's not that you have a choice, like you have something else or light. You can stay here. I'm going to have my darkness here. No. The moment that you bring darkness in your life, no, you don't bring darkness. You just push out light. And that's basically what people do. Every single time you consult an evil spirit, you are pushing God out of your life. Don't say, oh Lord, why is this happening to me? Why you left me? God never leaves anybody. Never. God, it's impossible for God to abandon you. Let me repeat what I just said. It is impossible, according to his character, to abandon you. He loved you and he created you to be forever his. You have the power to push God away from you. Here are three individuals asking the dead, or the evil one, of course, can you talk to us? Can you advise us? That's what they're doing. And they think this is religion. They think that this is religion. What do you see there? Yes, a lie. That's what it is, a lie. The middle of belief is a lie. And that's where it starts. Deception starts right where perfection was. Some people think that if they are in some environments, they will be completely protected of evil. Evil can reach out and touch you anywhere. That's why we have to be on alert every single time. Be on alert every single time. Don't be a puppet of the evil one. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Is it really serpents are more intelligent than elephants? Anybody think that? So why saying that the serpent was more cunning than? Is talk about the one behind the serpent. Is not actually talking about the serpent itself. A serpent is just an animal who has a limited ability to use reason. We have reason. They have a mind, but they do not have the ability to reason the way we do. So this statement is referring to the one behind the serpent. Okay, let's make sure that you understand that. And he said to the woman. By the way, have you ever seen a serpent that talks? Anybody here?
No.
If anybody here will raise a hand and says, oh, church, we have to get together to pray for this individual because it's a serious. Serpents don't talk no matter what you can do. You can see a bird. There are some birds that talk. The mockingbird, you know, imitates a lot of sounds, but not serpents. No matter how hard you try, they won't talk. They will bite, but they will not talk. They will open their mouth to give you a message. and probably send you to the grave. My grandfather, my mom's father, he was working in the field and he got bitten by a serpent. And he came home. My grandmother told him, we have to take you to the hospital. Said, ah, a tiny little thing, nothing's going to happen. He was taller than I am. I never met him, never seen even his picture, but he was very tall. And everybody told me that he was very tall and strong. So he got and said, ah, this was a tiny little thing. Just a little scratch, it's going to be fine. A few years later, I went to visit my grandmother, and she took me to see his grave. One tiny little bite. That's all it took. And he believed that it was not a big deal. Some of us today are playing with the snakes that talks or don't talk, but bites. And it's deadly bite. Has God indeed said, this is the first bite? Okay? Look how many times the serpent, you know, was bitten Eve. This is the first bite. Has God indeed said this? Doubt. That is the worst enemy about the truth. And by the way, the only way you can be put in doubt if whatever you know is not solid inside of your mind. Have you noticed that sometimes somebody says something to us and take less than a millisecond, say, excuse me, what did you say it again? Have you ever talked to people and they're looking at you but they are not listening to you at all? It happens all the time. We talk to people, they are not, and then it's I'm sorry, what it is? And you know that the person was not listening to you. Doubt is what Satan used, the first bite. Did God really say this? How many of you know what God has said about this issue? Don't come just to church and listen to the sermon and go home and that's it. Be like the Bereans. Take notes. And by the way, every single time I see people taking notes, I don't feel that at all because the sermon is so great that these people are, I don't, thank God I don't have that kind of vanity. I may have all the problems in my life, but that vanity I don't have. But if I see you taking pictures of the screen, if I see something else, I see a Berean. I see somebody who is going to go home and instead of doing something else that they're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath, is going to be deep on the world, on the word. Keep checking. Keep building that resistance so that the evil one cannot plant doubt in your mind. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that really what God said? Did God really say that? Now let's reason. God built everything, every fruit, to be eaten. You know, I know God, if he created a fruit, it has to be. God will not create a fruit just for looks. It has to be for. So, you see, you start rationalize to try, give yourself some excuses to disobey. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden at that precise time because that fruit had a purpose. And what we do not know about the story is what was that purpose was. But I like to make an appointment, and I hope you can come and make an appointment too. Let's make an appointment for the first Sabbath when we get in heaven, ask the Lord Jesus Christ, says, can you, I'm always curious, I have all those years in the earth now, I was curious, what was the purpose of that fruit? When was that fruit was supposed? And God will reveal to us what was the purpose. But I will give you a hint. I preached one sermon a long time ago. I don't know if it was even here, but I put seven fruits on the screen. Six of them one color, and the seventh a different color. And I read this text. Should we eat of all those fruits to help them to understand the concept of what went on? Every fruit was supposed to be eaten. God never created anything without a purpose. But the question is, everything has its own place and purpose according to God's will. Sunday will never, ever be Sabbath. Friday will never be Sabbath. Wednesday will never be the Sabbath, ever. According to scriptures, the Sabbath is forever. Why? Because we are forever. Sometimes we talk about the Sabbath as if the Sabbath can exist without us. The Sabbath was made because of us, so that we can celebrate the fact that we have a creator, that God has made us unique as part of his creation. So the Sabbath will exist forever because you will be there forever to celebrate the Sabbath. Genesis 3, 2 and 3, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, don't talk to the devil. Don't waste your time with the devil. If you have 5 minutes to spare, talk to God. If you have another 5, talk to God again. What about if you have another 5? What do you do with the other 5? Talk to God again. Don't talk to the devil. Don't waste your time, because he says, by the time she said this, the devil said, I got it. He already knew it. She already talked like me already. Look at her. She's imitating my voice already. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is on the midst of the garden, God has said. What did he say? Think about a plate full of shrimp. What? Yeah, think about a plate full of shrimp. And if you are raised to eat that stuff, but then you became Seventh-day Adventist, then you still crave for that taste. But of course, you don't eat anymore. You don't touch. Or they put a pizza in front of you, and you know that that little circle, red circles, are pepperoni. Then you say, just a second. By the way, some people say love. I don't ever use love for food, because that's worship. Okay? I like pepperoni. Not pepperoni. The pizza. So what do? And take a bite of all the pepperoni that it was, all that grease, all that stuff is still there. Anyway, I just decided to put that in. You should not eat. But here's the important. You shall not touch it. And let me add, I know that the Lord will forgive me for adding. I will add this. Don't even think about it. Don't let your mind even be connected with it, lest you die. Today, it is not a fruit. Today is a pepperoni pizza, or a shrimp, or a lobster, or something else. It is always something else. The devil doesn't care what you use, as long as you disobey your creator. He doesn't care. Pick pepperoni, pick whatever you want, as long as you do what is wrong. And then he said to her, you will not surely die. Do you know how many billions of people today are preaching this? I should point this way because mine is there. Oh, yours. Do you know? I was going to preach this Sabbath, the mark of the beast. But I decided to use this first before I preach about the mark of the beast, because they are related. It's another form of paganism as well. If you go around the religions, the Bible says the beast, it talks about the false prophet, it talks about the Spiritism, it talks about the power of deception that has embraced every religion in the world with the concept of immortality. Those that die, oh no, they are not dead. They are just somewhere. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes, here comes another bite. And this was one of the biggest bites, because with this bite, he affects all the religions in the world as well. Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, any other ism that you can think of, it, they're all under the same umbrella. And the master is, they are just puppets. He's just playing every one of them. And I hope that you understand that he is playing with Adventists too. I'm going to touch something here that some of you may not like it, but here it goes. We are so victimized by our own culture that in Spanish we say, la alma del pobre miserable este, you know, the alma. In Portuguese we say, da alma. And in Italian, the same thing. And probably Romanian is the same thing, the alma. In English, pastors come in front and say, in a soul, we preach one thing and we talk a different way. We have hymns in our hymn book that were not composed by Seventh Adventists. We just got it and nobody took the time to filter it. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Which part of it? We sing, it's well with my soul. And we sing those songs. And I'm not here to throw stones. Please don't take me wrong. I'm just telling you how deep we have been infiltrated. It's everywhere. Bible versions have been modified to put the word soul there so that you, when you read something that is not supposed to be there because the original is not there. Anyway, I was preaching in one church, Lake Parish Church, and there was a visitor, a young man that was to go into college. You know when you have a single daughters? A lot of young men had come to church. I thought it was my preaching. They came, quite a few of them were there. And one of them came and says, Pastor, I have a question. I'm studying to become a Seventh-day Adventist because I really like the faith. But I notice that you guys preach one thing and practice something else. And I didn't understand what he meant. I said, can you be more specific? He said about this soul issue. You say that a soul is the entire human being. But when you hear a Seventh-day Adventist preaching sometimes or teaching a Sabbath school lesson, you notice that we talk just like the world. We separate body and soul. And such thing is diabolical, is satanic, is not biblical. Am I being clear enough? Yes. I hope not too offensive, but if the word offends you, the Holy Spirit needs to change you. Amen. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Another lie. Didn't a verse before, chapter 1, 26 and 27 says, let us make humans in our own likeness. You be like God. They were already like God. But now this God was supposed to be, this God that I put there, is supposed to be a small G-O-D. Why? Because actually Satan was talking about him. He was not talking about the real God. He was saying, you're going to be like God. Which God he was talking about? He was talking about himself. Because he knew good and evil. But God does not. Knowing good and evil. Do you know what the word knowing in the Bible means? To be one with. Now that you know that that's what the Bible means when it says to know, do you believe that God has communion with evil? Is it possible for darkness and light coexist if one is the absence of the other? Any of you, any young people here that has a very, very still young mind, you can understand the logic of it. If you have turned on the light, darkness has to be gone. Knowing good evil, and we attribute to God many evil acts that is not from God. The wages of sin is what? God. Is that what it says there?
Yeah.
For the wages of sin is God. No, it's death. So why do we always, when we are suffering, there is destruction, we blame God for it? The wages of sin is death. Therefore, in other words, it says, a choice has consequence or rewards. That's what this verse is saying. Every choice has either reward or consequence. That's all it is. It's a very simple, rational thought. Ecclesiastes 9:5. This is the one that all of you have to have clear in your Bible. For the living knows that they will die. Are anybody here think that you're going to die? Hope not soon. But we all go in that direction, right?
Yes,
it is part of life. I have a sister-in-law that is struggling very, very much now with cancer. And the doctor already told the whole family, you have just a few days. That's it. That's all that's left. We just heard about Sister Nanyu's father, 103 years, and he went to sleep. All of us, young or old, we all are walking in that direction. It's part of being among the living. The dead knows what?
Nothing.
How much? By the way, when somebody dies, they become nobody, right? Why? Because the body stays behind and they go somewhere. So become nobody. I thought it was a joke. I hope that you understood. They teach that when a person dies, the body stays behind, and without a body, they become nobody. They go somebody. Is a so ridiculous thing, because the Bible says clearly, the living knows that they will die, but the dead knows nothing. Anybody knows who this person was? Have you heard about this individual before? Oh, so you don't listen too many to Norma Vincent Peale. Very famous individual that has been with presidents, people that was deeply respected. And many people heard him preach many times. This is what he said. Both sides of death live in unbroken fellowship. All the facts point to the continued existence of our loved ones. And he continues, we shall be united with them. Meanwhile, until we are united, we continue in fellowship with those who dwell in a spirit world. In other words, we continue being deceived by the evil one who pretend to be our loved ones. When Saul asked the witch, I want to talk to Samuel. And this witch was so good that she couldn't realize that that was Saul, in disguise. Later on, she find out what he was, and she was afraid to die. She shouldn't be afraid to die if the dead doesn't die, right? If she was able to talk to the dead, she would know to say, oh, I'll be better off there, because then I don't take a shower, I don't need to eat, I'll be good. So she should be in a good feeling. But no, she was scared to death. Yeah, to death. She was doing something, consult the dead. It was the devil playing games with Saul. Saul at that time was a little cuckoo already. and you open your Bibles, you will see this. Genesis 2, verse 7, a New Century Version says, "Then the Lord God took dust from the ground and formed a man from it." But it was not really a man, was it? No. It was not a man. It was just a mannequin. It became a man when he put the bread of life. And the person became a living person. It did not become just a soul. It became a living person. This is another version. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Oops, I went too fast. Okay. Let's continue. Anyway. "Our bodies will return to the dust of the earth, and the breath of life, which go back to God who gave it to us." Some of you have a version of the Bible here that says this, "and the spirit go back to God." Have you heard that before? "And the spirit go back to God." No. It's not the spirit that goes back to God. Nothing of you goes to God. Only what belongs to Him goes to Him, which is life. He gave you life, and since life cannot cease because life is of God, so when somebody does not have life, life goes back to him. And the only way you can have life is if He brings back to you. There's no life without God, and that's what Satan wants. So when you look at that in your version, this is a Good News translation, okay? "Our bodies will return to the dust of the earth, and the breath of life." And by the way, there are quite a few versions that have the breath of life. But there are some that are, here's a good God's word translation. "Then the dust," I like this even better, because it doesn't make the body of a person separate from the breath. Okay? It says, "The dust of the mortals go back to the ground." You know, dust go back to dust. Don't we say that in a funeral? "And dust go back to dust, dust to dust." The dust, it says, "the mortals go back to the ground as it was before. And the breath of life goes back to God who gave it." What came from God, it goes back to God. What came from the ground, it goes back to the ground. Common sense, very simple. Here is a math. How many of you likes math? I do. I always enjoy math a lot. A lot. Body, then you subtract the breath and you get a dead soul. But then body, you add the breath, you get a living soul. Now, I know that some people call themselves they are living, but they are basically dead. So body minus the breath, dead soul. Body plus the breath, living soul. But there's no other way. Job says this, "As long as I live, while I have the breath from God." And then he says this, "My lips will speak no evil, and my tongue will speak no lies." I wish that our young people would pay attention to our message and leave those things alone, please. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. Psalms 104, verse 29. That's a New Living Translation. It says, James, we are almost done. "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works." Very clear, brothers and sisters. I want to say this to you. There are some people from all denominations, scholars from Protestant churches, that are coming to a realization they have been wrong Now, the more, now because of the technology, people are exposed to, you know, there are so many more resources that they can see and they can read. And so quite a few people are now saying, you know what, those Adventists, they have been right all along, because the Bible does not teach that the dead goes anywhere. Clearly, very, very openly. Ezekiel says, all lives are mine. Some verses says, all souls are mine. The life of the parent and the life of the child belongs to me. Only the one who sins will die. Only the one who sins will die. Parents are not paid for their children's sin the other way around either. Only the one who sins die. And then it says, the living at least know they will die, but the dead knows nothing. I put this to ice because I want to call attention. They says, they have no further reward, nor are they remembered. No further reward. In other words, they're not going to go to paradise, purgatory, or this cloud here, cloud there. They are just in the grave. And the dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. They have no connection. Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is right there. Look around the corner, he was probably was saying. It's right there. Into this day, David didn't ascend to heaven. Can it be more clear than that? David did not go to heaven. He's right there. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right. So he was not talking about himself because he's still here. When David says that he sat beside, he was talking about Jesus Christ. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. I wish that every one of you could be say this when their time comes for you to kick the bucket. And now the prize awaits for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. When do we receive the life back? When the life comes to give us life. Only life can give us life. Dead don't give life to anybody. They don't have life themselves. And so that day, as his return, and the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward for life. Because he says, I am life. And when life appears, I want life. And that's what it is when he comes. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be rise without any corruption, meaning with immortality finally, and we shall be changed. By the way, if you have a problem with your looks, don't get despaired, okay? And don't spend too much money with, there are makeups that won't change things, okay? So be just comforted that the change is coming. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away ever. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And finally, brothers and sisters, I use this verse when a Catholic guy came to me and asked me, Pastor, it's okay to celebrate Mass to the dead because a family member had died and the priest was charging a lot for those Mass. So he came to me and asked, is it okay? And I said, if I tell you the answer, you're going to say, oh, this is just a young pastor. He's Protestant. He's not a Catholic. That's why he's talking about what his church taught him. I says, you know, brother, why don't you come in? I was going to his brother-in-law's house to study with them. I said, why don't you come in and you ask Jesus that question? Because if I answer, you don't care my answer. I'm just a young fella. I'm, you know, according to his age, I was very young at that time. Why don't you ask Jesus? Because I know you respect him. And we opened the Bible and I read this verse for him, those two verses. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all, how many?
All
who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out forth, who have done good, will go where? To life. But what about those that have done bad? To die forever. If you want life, you get life. If you want a death, you get death. So don't play with death, brothers and sisters. Don't play with evil stuff. It is not a joke. Don't spend time imprinting those images in your brain. Put good things in your brain, and people will be amazed how good you are. If you constantly contemplate what is good, you become good. You become attracted to what is good. If you constantly, young girls, boys, if you spend time because somebody told you, oh, have you heard this particular singer? And by the way, in this day and age, they call singers people that don't even know how to sing. They just make some awful noise, and everybody, oh, this is the greatest, my idol. Sometimes they don't even have the right tune, but they just make noise. And a lot of noise out there, they call music. And so this, if you look into this individual and you start admiring those people because they are on television, because they are famous, and you become impressed for what they are doing, and you listen to that sound that they make, if you realize today that our youth has been indoctrinated to be evil, to accept evil as normal. Be careful. If you continue to contemplate what is bad, you become bad at all, as well. What happens is if you sit in a place that is completely contaminated, when you get up, you're going to smell because you're carrying with you part of that dirt or whatever you get yourself involved with. Keep your eyes looking at what is good. Keep your ears attentive to what is good. Keep your mind concentrating on what is good. And everybody will know you are good as well.